I want us to go to school today. I want you to listen very carefully to some things that I feel impressed to say to you about the preacher's theme. The preacher's theme, or the preacher's message. Now, the thought that gave birth to this message, when I prepared this message, this was what I was thinking. I am concerned that my generation, the people who are living on this earth at this present time, especially in America, I am concerned that my generation is not hearing from the pulpit what they need to hear. Now, I'm just convinced of that. We have many preachers. We have much preaching going on from the pulpit, the television, and the radio today. But very little preaching is concerning the vital issues, the things that people must and need to hear. They must hear. They need to hear. Now, the preacher's theme, that's the title of this message, and that's what I want to talk about, the preacher's theme. The preacher's theme is set forth in the book of Psalms, chapter 40. Now, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 40, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Now, you listen to this. Psalm 40. Now, it's David who writes here. This is David speaking. But this scripture, according to the Apostle Paul, applies to and was written about the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10. Now, many of you who know something about the Bible will recognize immediately that this is the scripture that Paul quoted in Hebrews 10 in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to it. In Psalm 40, verse 7, now you turn over there. It says, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." Do you recognize the scripture now? Sure you do. In Hebrews 10, I believe it's verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God." Now remember, David's writing this. David, the sweet psalmist, the son of Jesse, the king of Israel, is writing this. And what he writes of himself. He's speaking in the first person. He's speaking out of his own heart and his own experience. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a prophet of God. He was a leader of the people. He declared the message. God spoke to the people through David. But he's speaking of Christ. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "It is written, yea, thy law is written in my heart." Now watch it. "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness. I have declared thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. I have not concealed thy truth from the great congregation." Now here the preacher's theme is set forth in my text in no uncertain terms. He says, "I have declared thy righteousness. I have declared thy faithfulness. I have declared thy loving kindness. I have declared thy salvation. I have declared thy truth." Now, if we can somehow, every one of you, this preacher too, if we can somehow get hold of these words, get hold of these five words, we'll understand the preacher's mission. We'll understand the preacher's message. We'll understand the preacher's theme because it has not changed. And the importance of these words are seen, first of all, in who writes them, and secondly, to whom, in the person to whom they're assigned. Now, first of all, these words are written by David. I cannot emphasize strongly enough that these words are written by David. He said, "Lord, I have declared your righteousness. I have declared your faithfulness, your salvation, your loving kindness, and your truth to the great congregation." This is David, the chosen of God. God sent Samuel down into the home of Jesse to anoint a king. And Samuel, by the orders of God, anointed this man David. And God said of David, I have found David to be a man after my own heart. Do you know he said that twice in the Bible? And there's no man in all the world, in all of Scripture, in all of history, about whom God ever said that. Called Abraham his friend. He said of John the Baptist, he's the greatest man born of woman. But of nobody did God ever say what he said about David. I have found him to be a man after my own heart. The heart of God and the heart of David beat as one. And this is David, the exalted king. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's Son who came into the world, was identified by these words. He's the Son of David. Our Lord said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And everybody replied, the Son of David. So my friend David declares here, David, and it would do well for us to listen. David declares his theology. You can't improve on it. David declares his theme. You can't improve on it. David declares his message. And what's more, he gives these words through the lips of the Apostle Paul greater meaning, by the fact that Jesus Christ himself fulfilled them. That was his message. Christ the preacher says, my message, I have preached thy righteousness. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Thy law is written within my heart. I have declared thy righteousness, thy faithfulness, thy salvation, thy loving kindness, and thy truth. Now I'm saying that I can do no better as a preacher of the gospel in 1984 than to preach what David, servant of God, preached. I can do no better, child of God, preacher of the gospel in 1984, than to declare what Jesus Christ, my Lord, Son of God, preached. And that's my theme, fivefold theme. That's my message. And I'm going to deal with it one at a time. Now, what's he talking about? He said, O Lord, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me. I come to declare thy truth. To declare thy truth. Thy word is hid in my heart. And I have declared thy righteousness and thy faithfulness and thy salvation and thy loving kindness and thy truth. That's my message. David said, that's my message. And when Paul came along and wrote Hebrews 10, he said, this is talking about Christ. This talking about the Son of God. This talking about the Messiah. This was his message. This was his message. This was his gospel. Now let's look at it one at a time. First of all, David said, I have preached thy righteousness in the great congregation. I have not hid, I have not concealed thy righteousness. Now my friend, let me be what I try to do all the time. Let me be as plain as I can on this subject. God himself is a righteous God. God is holy. The scripture says, holy and reverent is his name. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims about the throne cried, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. God's law is holy and righteous. God's kingdom is righteous. His angels are called holy angels. Heaven is called the holy heavens. The tabernacle is called the Holy of Holies. Our Lord's Bible is called the Holy Bible. It said the Lord is in his holy temple. When the priest came into the tabernacle, written across his forehead was holiness to the Lord. Our God is infinitely, unchangeably, unapproachably holy. God is holy, essentially holy. But what the apostle is talking about here, Paul talking about Christ, David talking about himself. When he says, I have declared thy righteousness, he means by that not only has he preached God in his holiness and righteousness, but he is preaching also the righteousness and holiness which God in his mercy and grace has provided for his elect in the obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a righteousness which God not only has, essentially, being God, But there's a righteousness, a holiness, which He has purposed, which He has provided, which He has given, which He has worked out through the obedience of Christ for you and me who believe on Christ. Now that's the righteousness that He said, I preach. And that's what I'm trying to preach to you. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Our Lord said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the best man who ever lived on this earth, you shall in no way enter the kingdom of God. You've got to have a righteousness, and it's got to be not yours, but God's righteousness. I have declared God's righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. And He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. That's the righteousness that David said, I preach. That's the righteousness which the Lord Jesus said, I preach. Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, and shot full of holes, and filthy rags in God's sight, but the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's writing about in Romans 5:19, when he said, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. If we're going to preach all the counsel of God, if we're going to preach that which is profitable to men, if we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to preach the righteousness of God. And that's not only saying that He's essentially and perfectly and unapproachably holy, but He has provided for us in the obedience, in the person and work, in the merit, in the death of His Son. He has provided for us a righteousness, a righteous covering, a righteous cleansing, a righteous standing before the law. He has given us that holiness which allows us to come boldly into His very presence, not only now, but in eternity. We've got to preach it. I preach thy righteousness, thy righteousness. And then He said, I have preached thy faithfulness. God is faithful. God is unchangeably faithful, immutably faithful. He abideth faithful. Listen to these verses. I am the Lord, I change not. Now I can't say that, and you can't say that. No human being could ever say that. You can't say I change not. Well, you may change in the next 30 seconds. You can't say, God is the only one who can say I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He does not change. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, without change. Whatever God has done, He is doing. Whatever He is doing, He will do. God does not change in His purpose, in His program, in His covenant. He does not change. God is the same. He's the same. We change. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, and He's the only one who does not change, abide with me. I'm preaching an unchanging God. I'm preaching the faithfulness of God. Now I know a lot of preachers, most preachers preach the faithfulness of men. Stay faithful, be faithful, keep the faith. But what I'm emphasizing, and men do remain faithful, and men do by the grace of God remain in the faith. But I'm preaching this, His faithfulness, not yours. His faithfulness. He's faithful. God is faithful. He will not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's not your fault you're not consumed. It's God's fault. Because He's faithful to His purpose. He said in Isaiah 46:11, I have spoken, I'll bring it to pass. He said, I have purposed it, I'll do it. God's the only one who can say that. You can't say that. You can say this, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. God is faithful to His purpose. He said, I have spoken it, I'll do it. I've purposed it, I'll bring it to pass. I change not. God is faithful to His covenant. Listen to this, Jeremiah 32, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I'll not turn away from them to do them good. Romans 8:29 says, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. Why, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is faithful to His covenant. God's faithful to His Son. All that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me, Christ said. And him that cometh to Me I'll in no wise cast out. God is faithful to His word. Abraham believed God. He was fully persuaded that God would do all that He promised. Paul stood on the deck of that sinking ship and he said, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be exactly as He told me. My friends, God is faithful. And that's the hope that a believer has. That's the assurance and confidence that a believer has. A true believer does not have hope in himself or confidence in himself. As Paul said in Philippians 3, we are the circumcision, we are the true Israel, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But I'll tell you this, you can have confidence in God, in His purpose, in His covenant, in His promise, and in His word. He is faithful. And that's what David is saying, and that's what our Master said. I have preached thy righteousness, purchased and provided. I have preached thy faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful. And then thirdly, he said, I have preached thy salvation. David, don't you mean our salvation? No, he didn't. He said, thy salvation. I have preached thy salvation. And he rightly called it God's salvation because the gift of God is salvation and eternal life. It is the gift of God. Jonah said in Jonah 2:9, salvation's of the Lord. In Psalm 51:12, David said, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And in Psalm 3, verse 8, he declares, salvation belongeth to the Lord. And in Psalm 37:39, he says, the salvation of the righteous is of God. My friend, salvation is not what we have done for God, and not what we have done for ourselves, or not what we have done with God for ourselves, but salvation is what God has done for us in His Son. Salvation is a gift of God. One great old preacher years ago preached one of the greatest outlines I've ever read on the subject, salvation is of the Lord. And he said this, what I'm saying is that the whole of the work whereby a corrupt, fallen sinner is saved and delivered from his bondage and slavery of sin and darkness and depravity and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son and made an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ and made perfectly conformable to the image of God's Son, I'm saying that the whole of that work from beginning to end is of the Lord and of Him only. And no man makes any contribution to it in the slightest degree. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its origination. God planned it. God purposed it. God ordained it. God thought it. It's of the Lord in its execution. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son into the world. We didn't send up there for Him. He sent His Son into the world. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Yes, wicked men nailed Him to the cross, but they did what God before determined to be done. Salvation's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in its application. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb was pleased to reveal His Son in me. God revealed His Son in me. God the Spirit regenerated me. God the Spirit quickened me. God the Spirit convicted me. God the Spirit granted repentance to me. And God the Spirit granted faith to me by the Word of God. And God the Spirit keeps me for salvation's of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God through faith, not by our faith, but through faith. We're kept not by our faithfulness, but by His faithfulness. We're kept by the power of God. Through faith, not apart from faith, not without faith, not in spite of faith, through faith. And salvation's of the Lord in its ultimate perfection, written across, emblazoned, someone said, across the skies eternally will be salvation is of the Lord. That old leper came to Christ and fell on his face and worshiped him. And he said, if you will, you can make me whole. If you will, you can make me whole. We got that backwards now. We're going to the center and we're saying, if you will, you can get God to make you whole. If you will, through cooperation with God, you can be made whole. No, sir. The leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And then that publican in the temple said, Lord, you be merciful to me, the sinner. And then the thief on the cross said, Lord, you remember me when you come into your kingdom. I have preached thy salvation. We better put the emphasis where it is. Men cannot save themselves. One day the disciples asked the Lord, they said, who then can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God all things are possible. So we're going to have to turn our eyes away from the pew and we're going to turn them to heaven and say, Lord, if it please thee in this day, send mighty conviction, mighty Holy Spirit conviction, and break men's hearts and bring them to Christ, because salvation's of the Lord. And then he said, I've preached thy loving kindness. Psalm 51:1, David said, Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness. According to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Herein is love, not that we love God, he loved us. Ephesians 2 said, talked about what we were, you know, following the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eye. And we were children of wrath, even as others, following the prince of the power of the air. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, I preach the love of God, the loving kindness and tender mercies of God Almighty. I preach that he loved us first, and we love him because he first loved us. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every man on earth a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain that ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. His love is everlasting. His love is infinite. His love is unchanging. His love is to guilty sinners, and he pardons the guilty. Our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's preach the justice of God, but let's preach also the mercy and love of God. Let's preach the holiness and righteousness of God, but let's preach to fallen sinners the love of Christ. I'll tell you, the Father is portrayed in no more wonderful fashion than when he stood out there that day and waited for the prodigal son to come home and fell on his neck and kissed him in love and forgiveness. And I'll tell you, the shepherd is presented in no greater light than when he left the 99 and went out there in the wilderness and hunted the one lost sheep. Love, the love of God, thy loving kindness. And then David said, I have not concealed thy truth. And let Paul speak for every true preacher. I have kept back nothing profitable unto you. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? Well, in one word, condensed to one word, the truth is Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. All scriptural truth is related to Christ. And if we preach the truth, we'll preach Christ. And if we preach Christ, we'll preach the truth. It is said of some, they're ever learning and never coming to knowledge of the truth. Why? Because Christ is the truth. The preacher's theme, God's righteousness, God's faithfulness, God's salvation, God's loving kindness, and God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now I'd like for the cameraman to put the camera on some books that I have written. These are called Bible commentaries, and I've been writing them for years on the 21 epistles in the New Testament. And these books are printed over in England by Evangelical Press, and we're selling them in this country. They sell for $1.50 each. There's a book of Romans, and then there's a book there with 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy, and then the book of Galatians. Now, these books are written primarily for Sunday school teachers or Bible class teachers or home Bible study courses. They're written, you know, most commentaries are so heavy, so deep, that it's hard for the average person to read them. Well, I've condensed it, and I've put these, and it's a verse-by-verse study, and I've put these verses in common, plain, everyday language, finding the meaning of the verse. And if you'd like to have these three books, if you'll send $5, that's what it cost us to get them from England and to send them to you, $5, not a piece now, they're $1.50 a piece, but they're $5 for all of them, all three of these books, send them to you for $5, that'd take care of the postage. If you'll write to me, the announcer is going to give you the address in just a moment. But if you'll write to me, I'll send you these books by return mail. We've just gotten a new supply of books in this week, and we'll mail them to you. Also, this message I just brought on the preacher's theme, it's on a cassette tape along with the message I brought last week on why did Christ die. These two messages are on the same cassette tape. That tape sells for $2. If you'll send a donation, we'll mail you the tape. Also write and ask for the books if you'd like to have them. They're $5 for all three. Until next Sunday, at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.